pop out of bed every Wednesday with a hop, a skip, and a hooray. Cause new comics have hit the shelf with so many titles that you can't tell what's good or bad or just okay. Should you buy it now or wait for the trade? The indies you should know about, and where can you find all this out? Well, luckily this podcast has the answers to all that. They call it God Hates Comics, but does it really? Who knows? And if we're being honest, he's outnumbered by the heroes, so I'm pretty sure we got this. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
All right. Yes, you can absolutely hear me with no issues.
Jesus.
All right, everybody. This is God Hates Comics, our special Comic Palooza edition. I am Dusty.
I am Andrew, as always.
I'm Vincent for today.
And those are really cool comic book boxes. I'm going to have to buy me one of those.
Those are short boxes, too, so I could actually buy myself. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, since you know, you have no idea what we're seeing right now.
Yes.
We are next to some rather coolly designed Wolverine and Iron Man short comic book boxes, which are admittedly pretty cool.
I have an Iron Man one. I mean, not an Iron Man, goddammit. I have a Captain America one from the same company.
I think they have those over there, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, they did a Kickstarter
Iron Man
a long time ago.
You should get, do they have anyone else, like Hulk?
They just have Wolverine.
Get Thor.
They have a Silver Surfer one.
I see some green ones over there. Red.
They might have a Hulk one now.
They
have a Hulk one?
Hey, yo, the Wolverine's battle damage. Yo, Dusty just came in his pants.
Give me one.
Just get it for me.
The best part of this is how the audience literally has absolutely no idea what we're talking about.
We're painting a picture. We're painting a picture.
We're painting a word picture very badly, no less, because we haven't said anything about it.
Okay, it's a box, so it's kind of square. And,
rectangular,
you know,
actually.
Rectangular, yes.
It's rectangular, but it's short.
Yeah.
So it's not long, nor is it like mid size.
Exactly.
I mean, what would you put that at? Like
all
a foot
right,
and a half?
The fuck on.
Foot and a half on comic books?
It's a short box.
It's a short box.
Yeah, so what is it like?
It's actually a little bit shorter.
Actually, yeah,
than
that's shorter than a short box.
Yes.
I have all I have is short boxes now.
Yeah.
It's a micro box.
It's a micro box.
Mm-hmm.
We need to copyright that and make millions.
Exactly.
Make thousands.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now that we've spent over a minute and a half talking about comic book boxes you can't see,
we're fucking roll.
It is the way we roll, but so we're at Comic Palooza right now.
Yes.
We're like at the show.
We are literally sitting at a booth just recording.
We are.
It's kind of fucking awesome.
And we've got some people
walking by. No
one's
looking
at us. We got some people coming by later that are going to talk to us, hopefully. And we're going to do some pretty cool stuff, but so, a book we're going to talk about while we're waiting for things to get going is Archie vs. Predator 2. I don't know if Dusty read this yet.
Didn't
we're going to spoil it
you
for
work
you.
At a comic book store. How the hell did you not
I
get a chance
I just picked it up today.
You worked there. You could have read it.
Okay,
there.
You are right.
Dude, and there was
I will
like,
not. I will admit that right off the bat. I could have just grabbed it and read it, but I didn't, and I'm sorry.
We're going to talk about it anyway.
Okay, that's fine. I know what... I mean... It,
all right.
I know
better,
the basic shit.
Better or, first than
you know?
The, better or worse than the first issue?
I don't think it's as good as the first issue.
I agree.
I think the first issue set the story up really, really well, but this felt like... The story, for a four-issue mini, the story hasn't advanced like I thought it would. Because
yeah.
We still have absolutely no idea why the Predator is doing this.
No, they explained it. General Keller explained it. He said that he was there because he hunts... Like they hunt.
Well, they made
the
it sound like he
game.
Got challenged by somebody.
Might have got challenged by
Betty
with the Jaguar knife.
Well, I guess, but then that whole thing too, that whole kind of just weird supernatural thing that just dropped in the middle of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're kind of tying Predator in. They're tying Sabrina in. They've got.
Well,
the
they were tying game. Sabrina in.
Kind of. I mean, she was basically like, oh yeah, yeah, here I am. Let me do a summons thing, and then Predator shows up and.
Nice.
Rips off her head and her spine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's drawn in that Archie style.
It's really cool. It's really cool. What I love about it is that they're not going away from the Archie style, but they're not going away from the fact that it's violent and bloody. I mean, like, when they kill Pop, like, his head explodes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, there's a cake in the shot, because he's bringing out a cake, like, as a welcome home, which also turns into a sorry you guys lost Cheryl.
Yeah, like it's literally like, sorry, Cheryl died on your vacation, but here's a cake.
He like cuts a slice of cake, and then the Predator like blows
his
head
off.
And like Jughead's just like, oh, well, I'm going to just eat this cake.
Because food is how I cope.
There's still an eye. There's an eye on the cake, and he's just like, fuck it, I'm grubbing.
Betty thinks this is, so Betty is freaking out because she thinks all of this is her fault because of the curses she cast in the first issue.
Okay.
And then so Veronica's like, no, you're dumb. And she's like, we gotta go to Sabrina. She can fix this because they think it's the curses.
Yeah.
So they go to Sabrina and Sabrina's like, okay, we'll do this and this and this and this. But then the Predator jumps through the window and rips her spine out.
It's fucking amazing.
The only thing I didn't really like about that scene was Salem was in it, but he didn't talk.
He
pretty much just looked like a regular cat.
And then he gets fried.
More like vaporized now.
He does. Like, the Predator kills Sabrina. So Salem jumps in, and the Predator kills him too.
But then it doesn't explain why Betty and Veronica don't eat it. Like, the Predator just disappears.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that they think it's a ninja. Like, Veronica thinks it's a ninja with a bad haircut.
With a bad haircut. But the thing is, that's absolutely something Veronica would think.
Oh, yeah.
Like that the characterizations are all still very Archie, but this issue, in comparison to the last one, isn't as good.
Very true.
Because lots of people die, but the general story isn't advanced very much.
Yeah, pretty much what happens is that Predator shows up, kills a bunch of people. And
we find out this knife is really weird.
Yeah. That's it.
The Jaguar knife.
I'm still really enjoying it. I'm definitely going to finish
it. Oh, yeah, me too.
It's
absolutely
not like Howard the Duck or anything where I'm just going to give it up cold turkey. Maybe. I haven't decided yet. Did you read it? Howard the Duck?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Number three.
Did I read it? I think I read it. I don't think I finished it.
Well, that doesn't bode well for the issue.
Wait. Talk about it. It'll remind me.
Old people are getting...
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Wow.
What is they're getting mind controlled to do, like,
evil
shit?
Yes, they're getting controlled to steal people's money and rob people. And who is it? The Ringmaster?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. The Ringmaster was mind controlling people. And just sitting back in a fucking lounge chair waiting for old people to show up with their wallets. With other people's wallets. So...
It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean...
That's code for not good.
Yeah.
Just
it
so
was
you
funny.
Know. When somebody goes, oh, that's interesting, it means that's not good.
I'm sticking to my guns. It's funny-ish. There are funny moments.
It's got its really funny moments.
That's how my dad described Avengers Age of Ultron. He went, it was interesting, which is movie talk for I didn't like it.
Yeah.
What did he like about it?
I don't know. My dad is my dad. I don't try to understand it anymore.
That makes sense.
He's literally, like, my dad is a mystery that I don't pretend to...
You should ask him. Maybe he was really upset about Black Widow's portrayal.
I somehow doubt it. he didn't understand the Jarvis to Vision jump. He didn't quite get it.
Yeah.
As a comic book fan, it made perfect sense to me, but I guess it didn't make a bunch of sense to him. But, yeah, interesting is code for I don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right, so moving on from Archie, what do you guys think about the Marvel merchandising thing with the X-Men and Fantastic Four?
So much bullshit.
We talked about this last week.
No, but...
Didn't we?
We did, but we're talking about it some more.
Okay.
Because on, Wednesday, it's when Tom Brevoort said that they no longer had the licensing rights.
He said you can't create merchandise for things you don't own the licensing rights.
So basically he's saying that Marvel no longer has the rights to produce content that they own, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, apparently they also then sell the rights to Fox, so right now no one has the rights to publish or print or do whatever.
So basically it sounds like the people that are making these products only have the rights to certain things. Marvel has withheld the rest.
Yeah. Which is really fucking shitty.
It is pretty shitty.
Yeah.
And it definitely ties into the whole pettiness thing we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for them just to say, oh, you guys, we sold this to you, we sold you the movie rights because we fucking needed money, and now you still have them, so we're going to say, fuck you, you're not going to be able to market your stuff? That's pretty bullshit.
The whole thing, really, to me, just comes off super... And like I said, we kind of mutually agreed that this probably wasn't... Marvel Comics making this decision as much as it was probably being handed from on high.
Disney.
But it still just comes off really, really petty to me. Like, it comes off very, oh, no, we don't have the rights to these characters, so we're going to be absolute jerks
about it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where it's like, if you're not going to do anything with the characters, fucking sell them. Like, if you're just going to waylay the X-Men and the Fantastic Four and just say, hey, we're not going to use them anymore, do something with them. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do something to give them away to someone that gives a shit. You know?
And like I said, it sounds to me like it's not Marvel doesn't care. It's simply that they're getting told not to care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that sucks even more because you're like, well, we care, but we're not allowed to because these people don't want us to, which is BS. So.
Well, I really want to know. I mean, like, I never really thought Tom Brevoort was, like, a bad guy. I kind of think he's just a mouthpiece, and he's in a shitty place. That's what I would think.
My problem with Tom Brevoort, and I guess I can respect this in a way, is that he has absolutely no tact. He's very blunt in what he says. He's very direct in what he says. And he has no problem telling a fan that they're stupid for thinking something, which isn't necessarily a problem because...
Some fans are stupid.
Some fans are stupid.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing where, I get it, but at the same time, I don't.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. We're actually recording right now, so you're now on our show.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Hello, Internet.
Yes.
I'll let you get back to your job.
Cool.
Okay, thanks. That was weird.
That was my friend Becky, who used to do Alamo Draft House stuff with me.
Cool.
It makes a little more sense.
It does. It makes it all make a little more sense. But
I was wondering why
our guests need to hurry up.
Looked at me and waved, and I was like... Hello.
Hi.
I don't know you.
But no, the whole thing to me just really comes... It doesn't make Marvel look good. It makes Marvel look really petty to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody asked me, but...
Well, you know, as the voice of the internet, I think. We're on the internet.
We are the voice of the internet,
aren't
we? We
are officially the voice of the internet.
All right. Did you guys hear that DC is going to be running, like, half-page ads in comics now?
Well, all we've got right now is Bleeding Cool saying this is going to happen. And Bleeding Cool, while they do have a decent track record, also has been wrong a fair number of times. It's a strange thing because, as the article pointed out, it's something that they used to do.
Yeah.
You'd have, like, half a page of story and then, like, an ad at the bottom. And so it's weird in a way because it sounds like... Maybe there's more money for DC to make in two half-page ads as opposed to one full-page ad.
Yeah, because it guarantees somebody's going to look at this or actually see it. Rather,
well, like as far as buying advertisements, maybe it costs more to do two half-page advertisements versus one full-page advertisement.
That's true.
So to take like a four panels and break it up across two pages with ads at the bottom, you score more money.
Frankly, I mean, it's one of those things that I really don't care either way.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Especially
I'm still going to read the books I read.
I read a lot of the comics digitally, and apparently what they're going to do is they're going to do it in a way that once it's collected...
You won't even notice.
You won't even notice. But I just think it's still kind of shitty that there's so many ads in my Marvel and DC books. Because you're definitely paying a premium to get a Marvel or DC comic. And, you know, they're just loaded with ads. It's like sometimes it feels like they're half ads, you know? And you don't get that in Image, you don't get that in Boom, you don't get
Image
that.
Well, Image doesn't have ads, period, do they?
If they have, they're all
it's
house
all
ads.
It's all in-house ads.
They're all house ads, and they're normally at the very back of the book. Same thing with Boom. I can't speak for Dark Horse or... Like,
I think Dark Horse is the same way.
Like house ads at the back?
Yeah, I don't think there's too many... It's not too many within the book itself, I think.
Yeah,
unless it's advertising.
I don't even really notice them, so this doesn't fucking bother me at all. You know?
I've
had ads in my comic books ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah, ads don't bother me. I know that people get annoyed by them, but
what I actually wish is that they would go back to making more of those, like, one page where it looks like a comic. You know, like ads that feel like they belong in a comic book instead of just any print ad.
Yeah.
You know, like try to gear it a little more towards the audience. Like, I used to love those Hostess and Twinkie ads they used to have in comics in, like, the 80s and 90s, where it's just, like, Batman and Robin are fighting Joker over fruit pies, and it's, like,
I remember the Got Milk ads that had Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Hell yeah.
Or the, remember those Charlton Chew ads?
Charlton Chew?
That had, for whatever reason, Nightcrawler was in like Bahama shorts and like a straw hat. He was on the beach.
Yep. I do not remember these ads because I'm apparently not 90 like you guys.
I'm like 3 years older than you.
Charleston Chew has not been a thing to my knowledge in my life. So
okay, well, then,
I remember these distinctly from like the early 90s.
Yeah,
maybe late 80s.
Well, I didn't jump into comics.
It's late 80s to early 90s.
Yeah,
because I mean it was totally it looked like Cockrum's Daredevil. Yeah. I guess.
But then again, I guess it doesn't really make much sense. There aren't many companies out there nowadays that are selling like Strongman and like you know become super strong or lift 500 pounds with. Just
yeah,
one
I mean, it was different
book,
when you had like you know the Atlas books and shit, you know, the whole kicking sand in his face and like buy my book and become super strong and
yeah.
shit like that.
Now it's like brush your teeth, kids, with your Hulk toothbrush.
Yeah,
your Spider-Man toothbrush.
I'd be okay with ads like that.
I mean, I don't know. I guess it's kind of.
I am okay with that too. I mean, it's just funny.
I'm not sure how I feel when I'm going through my Darth Vader comic and I see an ad for Star Wars board shorts.
Where are those at? How much?
I would
Walmart,
like to buy
I
these.
Think.
I would like some Star Wars board shorts in my life.
They look good. I mean, you know, that's for damn sure. You probably look good in them too.
Probably. All this boxing weight I've lost. I went back yesterday, man, after being out for like 3 days. Ooh,
yeah.
So hard.
Apparently there was people asking for me today. Guy didn't go today. I'm on vacation. So, fuck it.
Well, yesterday, one of the trainers, his last classes were yesterday.
We have a guest.
So.
Yeah.
We do?
We have a guest.
We do have a guest.
It's a hike to get here.
Yeah. Yeah, it is definitely a hike to get here. Hell yes. Well, if you want to come back, you can have my seat.
Pause the recording.
Hi, I don't think we've met.
Hey, Vincent.
I'm Jesse.
Jesse, nice
meeting
you.
Nice
to meet
you.
How you doing?
Hello. What have y'all?
Sorry?
We're recording a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
Dogfin Radio.
Nice.
Nice we'll costume.
Are you guys recording this afternoon?
No, Sunday.
Cool.
Okay, yeah. Awesome.
Oh, that's amazing.
We will be, yeah, we're here until somebody kicks us out. Which may, who knows when that is.
We're God Hates Comics, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. All right, we're going to communicate that. Well, yeah. How's the show been so far for you?
Exhaustive.
Exhaustive? It's a big hike to get around this place.
Yeah.
It's been, it's been a lot of work.
Have you been to the lounge yet?
No.
There's a lounge?
Don't go.
It's just a room with a couch.
Nice.
That's
a floor?
That's still nice. Yeah.
If there's couches. A floor, then I can just be like, nobody step on me.
Did you get the Wi-Fi password?
No. What is it?
I will give it to you.
Awesome.
Yeah, the room is in 217, so we went to go walk in. There's all these foods, and we're real excited. And like, oh no, that's for the bloggers or something. And we're like,
yeah, they're treating the bloggers better than the podcasters.
Assholes.
All the bloggers are bombing bloggers.
Yes, look, it's going to be under Comic Palooza Private.
Okay.
And the password is capital C, capital P, the number 4, and then lowercase all, A-L-L, 2015.
Okay. I'm going to remember that when I get back to my phone.
Well, everybody gets gets on there.
Everybody gets it now.
How long
are
y'all
been
podcasting?
Oh, just about 20 minutes or so.
Capital C, capital P,
no, in general, like ever.
Oh,
20 minutes.
This is literally our first episode. No, about we're up to like
July?
34 episodes, and we do it weekly with a couple of breaks. So,
yeah,
7 or 8 months at this point.
Yeah.
Dogfin Radio literally started the week before Comicpalooza invited.
I'm in episode 5.
Heck nice. Yeah.
No, it's fun. It's really cool because you start off with basic stuff and you're like, oh, I can get this stuff, make it better.
Yeah.
Do this.
And we're at a place now where we're trying to upgrade as we go and make it better and more better.
More better.
More better.
More better than you.
There we go. All right, now I'm connected. Cool. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Their laptop is a real laptop. He
has
a break. His laptop's like this thing.
It's an Inspiron.
Oh, man.
5150.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
it works. So why not?
Right?
It does. It works. It uses XP. It's good.
XP is a solid operating system.
Oh, yeah.
It still works 20 years later.
Yep.
That's true.
What podcast are you with?
God Hates Comics.
Yes! I love it already!
We're the only podcast in the universe about all the comics that God hates, which is all of them.
Yeah. Awesome. It makes sense. I can see it now.
Except for that one.
Except for that one.
Yeah, there's that one.
Yeah.
He likes that. Yeah.
I think he's a fan of that one, actually.
He likes the action Bible graphic novel.
So chapters 1 through 8.
Okay. He's a bigger fan of the Old Testament because he gets to wreck shit. But that New Testament, he has to, once you get to the New Testament, he has to be nice. But
yeah. The sun come down.
All that. All right, we're joined by a guest now.
I wanted to say hi, so...
Oh, cool. Okay. We'll see you around. Sure.
All right.
So now we're joined by our first guest, maybe of many, maybe only guest, depending.
I'm going to kill anyone else who wants to be a guest on the show.
Just you heard it here.
So I can be special.
Bye, baby.
Just... Can you just do it
by Shibby Brothers?
By
so Joe. It's all over.
It's been nice knowing them. But they got in my way.
It's been nice knowing most of them.
I'm not here to make friends.
Hey, it's that guy that records our song.
Oh, hell yeah.
It really is. No joke.
Really?
That's
awesome.
What's going on, man?
Come by in a couple more minutes. We'll talk to you too.
All right, cool. Hell yeah.
So, Jesse.
Yes.
Pepsi or Coke?
I don't drink soda.
All right.
A terrible answer. I'm sorry. But I do have a funny story about that because Alva, during Free Comic Book Day, I was really stressed out, and she's like, "You should have a sip of my Coke," and like handed it to me, and I was like, "Okay," all confused, and I took a sip and walked away, and then I came back like 5 minutes later. I was like, "Wait, was there more than Coke in there?" And she was like, "Yeah, there was." There was whiskey or rum or something, and I was like, "Oh, I don't know how it's supposed to taste."
That explains how Third Planet operates.
No, yeah, seriously,
they found TJ and Jim found the bottle in the fridge, and totally blamed it on me. You know, the guy that doesn't drink.
Figures. Yeah. You're a suspicious looking character, man.
But you're a guy.
You're that guy. You're that guy that the Scruff McGruff ads warned me about.
Exactly.
You're that dude in the black trench coat with the black face and the black hat that looks like a silhouette.
Okay.
So that was a bad question because you had no answer for it.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna rephrase that. That was a bad answer because you didn't have one. No. So
only
how's the show
questions?
Been?
It's been good.
I mean, it's like 4:30 on the first day.
Yeah,
so.
But I've still, you know, had gotten a couple commissions and sold some comics.
So what comics are you a part of?
I do a web comic with writer Matt Gordon called Musings.
Matt Gordon's that one that looks like Macklemore, right?
No.
No, really?
No, who am I thinking of?
No, Matt has like a magnificent beard.
Oh, without the beard, he looks like Macklemore, that's right.
Everyone has beards nowadays. It's the thing.
It doesn't make him look like Macklemore.
I'm a ginger, so I'm allowed to say this.
But you don't look like Macklemore.
No, I look like Seth Rogen.
Rogen, yeah. Looks
we all have our cross to bear of that celebrity everybody says
you're
we look
Seth
like.
Seth Rogen?
Way more. Matt looks way more. Okay, you know the damn Frost the Snowman movie? The fucking dude with the red beard? You have the pop-up.
Cornelius.
Oh, Yukon Cornelius.
Yukon Cornelius. He was Yukon Cornelius
exactly
for
like
Halloween.
That is genius because he stole my idea, so it's not genius because now I don't get to do it.
But your beard isn't as magnificent as his.
This is true.
My beard is cleaner than his.
No.
You get those thicker beards. Birds start nesting in there. You lose track of stuff.
It's true.
I only had to kick out a couple crows.
Just a couple?
Just a couple.
Your beard, I imagine it would be like at least 5 or 6.
Right. I do a pretty good job of fending them off.
There you go.
This has been Beard Talk, coming live from Comic Palooza. So you do Musings with Matt Gordon.
Uh-huh.
What is that about?
It's a story about people who can hop through anything creative and explore and nudge things around so they can go into books, movies, comics, paintings.
And, like,
music,
change things.
Anything like that. They can change things, yeah.
So, like, could you provide us with an example?
Well, in the first issue, they hop into a book called Midnight, which is a parody of Twilight, and they're dealing with really dumb, sparkly vampires. We've been tossing around the idea of them going into like a 50s pulp comic at one point and have to fix something that's gone horribly awry because everything looks like a Liefeld drawing.
Everybody's feet look so weird.
Why are they covered in pouches?
Where are
what do you use all these pouches for? It's like, this is where I put my change, and this is where I put my bills, and this is where I put all the other stuff.
Every pouch has a single Cheeto.
Exactly. And then I never run out because I have endless pouches.
Within pouches, within pouches.
So, like, they can jump into anything creative.
Right.
So, like, I could jump into, like, Starry Night by Van Gogh and make it daytime.
Yeah. You could hop into music. we're trying to figure out how we would want to visually represent something.
That's
like
cool.
That. Yeah.
You all should go buy that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it available online as well?
It is. Musings-comic.net.
This sounds really cool. You should check it out. I've actually read it. I just really wanted to ask questions about it.
Yeah, issues 1 and 2 are available in physical form right now. We're about to start issue 3. They're hopping into Frankenstein.
Score.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's pretty much the only sell I needed for that. Jumping into Frankenstein.
All right,
so what else are you working on?
I'm working on a self-produced, I'm doing the writing and the drawing for The Adventures of Marnie and Edward, which are all about this girl and her Yeti and the adventures that they go on together.
Well, that's her adorable. Yeti? Like, she just has a Yeti?
Yes.
Well, they kind of have each other. They're, like, best friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it's just, in this universe, Yetis exist and it's just a thing.
It's just a thing.
His favorite animal is the unicorn, but he's never been able to see one yet. He's
but he has seen
it.
A Yeti.
Because he is a Yeti.
That's pretty cool.
It would be actually funny if there was no mirrors and he had never seen a Yeti.
Get scared at its own reflection.
Yeah.
That happens to me sometimes.
It's really funny because I have a, going back to Matt's career, I have a print of them at my table. And last year at Comic Palooza, these little girls came up and they like looked at the print of Edward, looked at Matt, looked at Edward, looked at Matt, and then they were like, is this you?
Is it Matt? Or is it just a coincidence?
It's just a coincidence because I created Edward in like 2008 or so, and I didn't meet Matt until like...
What if Matt is jumped into this comic about your life and is now redirecting it?
Plot twist.
Oh man, what if... So like
this
he's
is getting really meta.
So he hear me out here.
Okay.
So you create this character, Edward. But this all rests on somebody writing a retrospective autobiography of your life, of which we are all characters, which is pretty cool. So now he jumps into it and is now redirecting life based off of this drawing. Oh, that's heavy. I can't even figure that one out.
Wow. It's like a Friday. I don't want to think that hard.
Yeah, that's crazy. I just broke my own brain with that one. But it's all good. It's all good. So, Musings, you got your own book.
Mm-hmm.
When is that going to be coming?
That should be coming in the fall.
In the fall.
In the fall.
Cool. You're sure you have a website of some sort?
I do. It's jessieart.com. That's JessieArt.com.
Cool. Well, I'm sure they can go there for details and more as stuff gets closer to publication.
Indeed. And from there, you can find all my social media, the Twitter, the Tumblr, the Instagram, the Facebook.
Everything. The Facebooks.
The Facebooks.
And so you've got Musings, you've got your book, anything else that is completely stressing you out and stressing you to the max because you're doing three things at once.
That's pretty much all for now. Well, I've got something in the works with Meredith Nudo, but we're still... I know, she's terrible.
So terrible.
I hear she's a real death harpy.
That's the rumor.
Yeah.
I also hear that their podcast declared war on our podcast, but I'm not dignifying them with a response.
We haven't gotten any formal declarations.
So. I haven't gotten any letters. I haven't gotten any pigeon-delivered notices. So until I get something official...
Blood has yet to be drawn.
True.
Until the Pony Express shows up at my door.
Actually, if they do show up with war drums and a flaming guitar, though, it's on.
It is.
It is on.
The first act being we need to steal those drums and that flaming guitar.
That's our job.
That
those
is
drums.
The fire we need
with
to do.
With said flaming guitar.
With said flaming guitar. So, you'll be here all weekend. You have been here all weekend.
Yes.
So I think this is going to be posted after this.
Yes.
Have you done Comic Palooza before?
I have. This will be my... Fourth Comic Palooza?
Fourth. Man, that starts 2011.
You've been coming every year that I've been coming.
Pretty much.
I've come every year there's been a show, which means I beat all of you guys, but not just a little bit.
Look, hipster, calm your shit.
First year here was 2010, and that was the year they had like J.H. Williams and Rob Liefeld and Ethan Van Sciver.
Oh, wow.
And it was, they had Umberto Ramos and Ben Temple Smith and David Mack, and it was a pretty impressive lineup.
That's nice.
And, cool.
But they outside didn't have Rob Jesse Liefeld. Jordan, so.
They didn't.
Yeah.
It's and
not
then,
that impressive a lineup then.
The year before, they were at West Oaks Mall, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
There was an empty big store that they had the dealer's room in.
Wait,
and
was
had...
it still West Oaks Mall, or was it already West Oaks Technology Center, or whatever it is now?
It's still West Oaks Mall.
Is it?
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Vince Vail's knowledge of Houston. And so we, and so, and then the year before that, it was at the Alamo Draft House on Mason Road out in Katy. So the first one was the year The Dark Knight came out. That's how I know, because that was the way they sold it. And it was just local people. So
if you like The Dark Knight, come to our comic show.
At Alamo Draft House, so you can come to our show and then watch the movie.
Oh.
It was a pretty solid sell.
Yeah.
And then now they're here.
It obviously worked.
Started from the bottom, now they're here.
Taking up the entire George R. Brown this year.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
That construction's a real pain, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I parked really far away. I used Parking Panda, and I paid a quarter to park today, so I can't really complain.
Yeah.
So. But I'm far away.
We but parked I close, but we had a lot of stuff to bring in.
Well, if you're here, don't you get to park somewhere and unload? Or not, not unless
but
you're famous?
We didn't want to. Well, I mean, that's a whole other.
That's a whole other
enchilada.
Thing. Enchiladas are good.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
I am too. I even just ate.
There's a Papacito's at the Hilton over there.
That's badass.
And there's a Guadalajara by the House of Blues.
Cool. There's also like pizza 30 seconds that way.
Yeah, but convention food.
Convention pizza versus
Guadalajara.
Restaurant.
Convention
Come
food.
On.
Guadalajara.
That would mean Papacito's. Convention.
That would.
These passes are all day, all weekend. Just walk out and walk in.
With my fancy VIP badge.
I customized it.
Jerk.
So it looks like me.
That does look like you. Who's that was supposed to be?
George Takei.
Wow. I would have been able to guess that at all. Now it looks completely like you and nothing like George Takei.
Which is just weird.
It's very strange. Well, Jesse, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure because none of our other guests have shown up.
Right?
Yet.
Jerks.
Yet.
I can send that your way.
Should
so you can talk about beards some more.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hey, Josh. Come over and talk to us.
Somebody else with their seat.
I'll give up my seat. He can take it.
I'll sit the fuck down.
Scoot down, Dustin.
I can do that.
Why didn't we just... That was
I don't know.
That was really dumb.
It really was.
Dumb.
I don't pretend to understand. All right. Our next guest is actually the guy who recorded our theme song.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And thank
guys.
You for that, by the way.
Awesome. Thank you.
They might
you
need
y'all
a
like
name.
That?
I don't think most people
yeah.
just know.
Sir, what is your name?
My name is Josh Crow from right here in Houston, Texas. Home of the Space City Nerd. Network.
Space City Nerd Network, which includes God Hates Comics.
Indeed, yep. Indeed.
So, when Jesus approached you about recording our theme song, what was the first thing you thought?
Awesome.
Awesome?
I've been looking for a good comic book podcast to listen to.
Well, we didn't have any episodes, so I'm sorry if we let you down in the aftermath.
No, not at all.
Also not entirely sure if we're good, but we are a podcast, so we've got that.
We are a comic book podcast, so we have that going for us, which is nice.
Yep, yep.
So when you've recorded other songs, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
What is the process you go? So like you're handed a show like God Hates Comics, you want to record a theme song for it. What's your process for that?
Well, I said God Hates Comics. That's a pretty interesting name, so I want to know a little bit more about that and. Y'all said, kind of it's a play off of God Hates Astronauts, which is a comic book, and y'all want God Hates Comics. And then I asked, I kind of wanted to maybe, like, shout out to the people that are on the show. So I was like, maybe I should, find out who's actually on the show. He's going to be recording it every week. And then I just figured that asked kind of what y'all would be talking about on the podcast, too. Like, you're going to talk about... What's coming out for the week? What are y'all's picks of the week? New releases. What are y'all like?
And those are very much the exact things we talk
exactly.
about.
So I was like, if I was going to listen to a comic book podcast, what would I want to hear? And so I asked y'all to double check because I didn't want to like record a song and be like, hey, they're going to talk about new releases every week, and they're all like, oh no, we don't talk about that. So
we're talking about new comics that come out. No, yeah, we're talking about comics from 80 years ago exclusively.
So
we talk about 1910s pulp stuff from the newspapers. I have a collection.
Exactly.
And once y'all were like, yeah, that's what we plan on talking about. I was like, cool. And then just kind of thought about the process for that song. I say. get out of bed every Wednesday and go to the comic book shop. I mean, that's what I do. I'm sure all y'all do the same thing.
I don't quite get to get out of bed and go straight there, but I do go there on Wednesday.
Well, I used to plan my classes when I would schedule my courses. I would make sure that none of them started at like 10 o'clock on Wednesday so
that's
I could make
hilarious.
It there. So.
I got to get there first. Nobody's taking these from me. Yeah.
There's the benefits of working at a comic book shop. I buy my comics on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
You jerk.
And that's why there's no variance on Wednesday. Right.
Dusty has taken all the variants and bought them at cover price because he's a jerk.
Yes.
So what else are you working on? You got any other music coming up?
I just graduated last week from
college.
Congrats.
Got a bachelor's degree, and that was holding up a lot of music production for me, because whenever you're working and going to school and trying to graduate, you know, that takes up a lot of time. But now that that's done, I'm definitely going to focus on music a lot more and get some new music recorded. I actually have a show tonight, but I know this is a podcast, so no one will be hearing about that right now.
We'll post it on our Facebook page. So go see his show that was 4 days ago. You guys have time travel. Work on that and get it done.
Yep, so, you know, I'll be at Neil's tonight, and I'll play some songs and play some good ones.
Because you've known Jesus for a little while, haven't you?
Yep, I met Jesus through doing music and doing shows. I know he's promoted a lot of shows and got some people to come down
here.
He has.
He's got Betacon. Yeah. Betacon's a show.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
It was good.
Yeah, sorry. It already happened. Yes.
I'm pointing at the screen like that means something. But we greatly appreciate you recording the theme song for us. Do you have a website or something we can follow you out more?
Yes, I am Josh Crow, and that is JOSHKROW. I'm on Bandcamp and SoundCloud at Josh Crow. Pretty easy to find. I'm the only one. That's why I had to spell it with a K, so there wouldn't be any other people out there with it.
That's smart thinking. Because when you Google God Hates Comics, the first thing is God Hates Astronauts. So we have to work on that. We did not think that out well.
Yeah, I love your podcast, guys. I mean, I'm glad y'all had me on. When I heard y'all were recording a live podcast, I thought, like, people could come hang out and listen to the live podcast.
Yeah.
I'd expect to be on the live podcast, but I appreciate it. I'm a big fan. I listen every week, and I've got some great recommendations from y'all. I've definitely checked out a few new series.
Nice to hear. We never get feedback like this.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have been wanting to say that, so I'm glad I got to meet you guys.
Well, it's very much appreciated, and we hope to keep it going. So that's hopefully we're still doing this next year, and we'll come back.
And actually, specifically, when y'all had Fabian on and Alexis on, y'all did an interview about Space Riders and about the new comic book publisher that they were on.
Oh, Black Mask, yeah.
Yeah. And I was really interested in that. I was like, oh, that's so cool. And so I was able to get Space Riders number one when it came out, called around, was able to find a store that had it. And then just went and talked to him a minute ago and got Space Riders 2 from him and a variant cover.
So he owes us.
I let him know. I told him. I said, hey, you know, I heard your interview on God Hates Comics.
That interview was so funny.
Fucking Star Wars, man.
Exactly. Like, my girlfriend was in the room listening to us record, and that was the one thing she took away is when Alexis was like, no fucking Star Wars. But that was a fun interview. But we're glad, like, because we have a lot of books that, like, we really like that we want to get more attention. So it's good that people are actually getting attention sometimes. It's too bad we didn't have the show when Captain Britain and the MI-13 was coming
out. For real. Jeez. I know. We'd have been the biggest supporters.
We're still not over that one, guys. We're never going to be. We're still mad at you all for letting us down with that one.
You fucking suck, guys.
Pretty much.
Bring us back Captain Britain into my 13. So, besides Space Riders, is there anything that you're reading? Like, anything specific that jumps out, you know?
Well, I'll definitely say I talked about this a little bit earlier when I ran into Andrew on the floor, but Rat Queens is probably one of my favorite series right now.
Yeah.
Glad it's finally back after the controversy that it found itself in.
Yeah, true. And I was able to find a Rat Queens t-shirt on the floor, so I bought that, snatched that up immediately.
Awesome.
Was happy about that. I mean, I'm really, really, really a huge fan of the TMNT series.
Yeah, the current one?
Oh, yeah, the current one.
Eastman's here Saturday and Monday. Yeah. Sunday and Monday.
So
he's not here on Saturday?
No.
Dang!
All right. Yeah, so I brought a bunch of those. I'm hoping to finally meet Eastman. I missed a couple chances when he's been in Texas before, so...
It's the first time in Houston, I think. So yeah, I'm also looking forward to that. I've got the TMNT Ultimate Collection, the original stuff. I'm hoping he sketches a little turtle head in it. Yeah. That's what
he'll
he does.
He'll do a free sketch for everybody. You can wait in line.
That's mighty Canadian of it.
Anybody, too. You can ask for, like, not just a turtle, but you're like, I want Bebop, I want Mondo Gecko.
He's only here 2 days, so I can't. My plan was, like, space out all my books over the 4 days so that I could just get something signed every day. But we'll do something. But, yeah, I'm really excited about him being here. And anybody else here you've spoken to meet?
I definitely got to say this. I met Peter David.
He is a cool fucking dude.
Yeah, so I'm here with my dad right now, and Peter David.
Hello, sir.
Peter David's his probably favorite author, right next to Mark Wade. And he's actually who got me into comics.
Wade is, I think, seriously, probably the greatest writer in the history of superhero comics.
I'm a huge Peter David fan. Like, he was the first interview I ever actually did.
Yeah, you got to talk to him at the Galveston one, right?
Yes, I did. And,
that's very cool.
I have a gigantic stag. The first time I met him, I had a huge stag. I got him to sign the first half of his X-Factor run. Now I'm getting him to sign the second half of his X-Factor run.
You're one of those people. We saw them over there.
That's when I met Bob Layton here, not last year, I think the year before. I did the same thing. I had his entire second run of Iron Man, not the first one because that's harder to find, but I had the entire second run, which is like Armor Wars and all that.
Yeah.
And I went to him and I was like, hey, I've got your entire second run of Iron Man. Will you sign that? And he went, yeah, cool, bring it by. And I brought it by, and he's like, oh, you weren't kidding. All right, I'll sign him anyway. And he just started signing them, and he's like, my signature's worth nothing, man. You're probably marking the value of these down. And I was like, all right, I don't care.
Exactly, man. It's not about selling it. It's about having the signature.
It's about having it signed.
Yeah, exactly.
I still think when I got my Iron Man sketch from him, I still think it was amazing because he was literally inking it without looking at it. It's like you could tell he'd just been drawing Iron Man forever. He wasn't even looking at the page. He's just like drawing Iron Man. I'm like, God damn it, that's so awesome.
My friend wanted to get a sketch from him. Next time I meet Bob Layton, I've got to ask him, I'm like, draw me like the deep sea Iron Man armor. Draw me that armor that nobody asks for.
Right.
My friend asked him to draw Hulkbuster, and he was like, oh, really?
Again?
It's like, Hulkbuster, can't we do something smaller? I can do like 7 Silver Centurions in the time it takes me to do one Hulkbuster. Yeah. And he was like, all right, let's do Space Iron Man. And he was like, all right, cool.
Nice.
Yeah, he's another cool dude.
I've got a colossal sketch
from him. He's pretty awesome. Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, guys, I'm going to step out and get that autograph I need to get. So you guys going to keep it going?
Yeah, sure.
We'll figure something out, you know?
Yeah, keep it going.
I really think anyone else is going to show up. So.
I'll send Joe down here if I see him down there.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, you got 10 minutes.
You got some more stuff on the dock,
don't
you?
Yeah, look, there's people I know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What people you know?
Duncan, the people standing right there in the X-Men shirt.
Oh, cool.
Yes, I know them, of course.
You guys keep talking. I'll be back. Squeeze out now.
All right.
You can pause the recording if you want.
Are you going to take your stuff? Should we?
I'm just going to take my bag.
Leave the box.
Yeah.
Pack it up.
I'll be back. Wait, I need my mystery envelope.
So I'll need a guest host.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to hang out, you can.
Well, I'm going to stick around with you, you know.
I'll send Joe down here if I see him.
Sweet. All right, cool, man. See ya.
All righty.
All right, so what the hell are we doing now?
I have no idea.
All right.
Well, hey, nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, man, it's awesome meeting you.
Yeah, definitely thanks for doing the intro.
Yes.
It was,
I really appreciate that.
Honestly, I've never gotten any feedback on it either, so I didn't know if y'all even cared for it, but, I've been wanting to talk to y'all and tell y'all I definitely appreciate the podcast.
Well, that's cool. It's actually good to find people that listen to it that we don't all personally know. Because we have like 5 friends that comment on our page like frequently.
Yeah.
Everyone, but there's no one else. It's just like, okay, well.
It's like, we know there's more people than that listening to it.
We just don't know who they are.
You know?
Which, I mean, that in itself is cool. Just
it
because,
is.
You know.
Hey, some random
people care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that I know those TMNT fans. I know y'all TMNT fans.
Oh, fun, yes.
Definitely in good company.
Oh, yeah. Did you, are you keeping up with the current series?
Yeah, keeping up with the current series.
What do you think of the fake out of Donatello's death?
You know, they made that issue, and then it was like a super big deal, and they got like probably 3 or 4 printings of that issue.
Yeah.
It
took
them
all of like 2 seconds to say, nah, it's,
he's
not dead. I actually, I capitalized on it because I put it up on eBay for like $35 and sold it like that.
And that, that was one thing I know y'all talked about on the podcast a few times, but no one ever stays dead in comics.
Yeah.
You know, they come back. Donatello wasn't going anywhere. And,
it's a good already released preview information, like previews of books with him alive.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
well, I still think it's really funny that people still think that there's like a super, I mean, I don't want to say collector mentality, but like the comic books are worth more than cover price.
Oh,
you know,
no,
it's like every now and then you get something that's like explodes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I got a friend, I'm not going to call him out on the podcast, but he told me he wanted to start collecting comic books for the value. He's like, he goes, I might, you know, read them here and there, but I just want to kind of pick up the single issues that are going to be worth money one day. And I was like, those are so rare. You don't know what they're going to be. And I think he wanted to get, like, the one where Deadpool gets married and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, now we live in an age where the stuff is digital. Like, the people that really want to read it aren't going out there to find the collector, you know, price. They're just going to find the digital version. And, I mean, I'm a collector. I buy all the variant covers, and it's for me personally. I'm not going to flip them on eBay or anything. I love the series, and I'm a big collector, but I don't, you know, try to trick myself into saying, oh, these are going to be worth money one
like,
day.
I'll sell my comics, but it's sure as shit not for profit.
Yeah.
Like, right? I'm all right, man, I've got 3 long boxes. $300? Hell yeah, I'll take that. Mm. All right, there you go. Apart from that, I just... It still baffles me that people go out there and be like, you know, because I'm friends with some of the guys that work at Bedrock City. They were saying that all of a sudden they were getting call after call after call about people asking for the TMNT issue.
Mm.
And so eventually, I think it was Kevin just said, I just started telling people he's not dead. He's not dead.
Same here. That's
not
what
dead.
I do too.
Like, he's not dead.
Like, people would call him and be like, do you have TMNT 44? Like, he doesn't die. And they're like, what? I'm like, he doesn't die. Like, it's a fake out. Like, it's just a
not dead.
He's just not dead.
Save
just
your
give
money.
It to the next issue.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh.
I mean, you can't kill off a Ninja Turtle. I mean, come on, really?
There's only 4 of them, you know? Yeah.
You could, but they didn't. Like, there are some comics where it's like, you believe, like, when a character's dead, they're dead.
Yeah.
You know, like, Walking Dead's case in point. Like, that's, when someone dies in Walking Dead, well, that's...
Unless they come back as the undead.
Unless they come back as...
Yeah, but, that was terrible.
Yeah, was, you know what I mean, shut up.
Well, speaking of people dying in comics, though, you're asking what I've been reading, and I went to the Bedrock Spring Sale, Summer Sale, whatever they call it, that happened a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Picked up a bunch of trades of stuff that I've been reading or got behind on, and I just read the second trade of Southern Bastards.
I fucking love
I'm
that
not,
comic.
I don't say anything.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. I want to read it.
It's amazing. That's all I fucking say. Just read that fucking comic. It's awesome.
I'm blown away by it, and the reason I'm blown away by it is because I haven't read a comic that has done the first story arc focusing on one main character, and then the second story arc completely focusing on a totally different character, like still in the story, and just really, you know, telling you their backstory. And it's a lot of build-up, but it's just so intense. And after I read that trade, I sat there, read the whole thing, and put it down. I was like, well, I need a deep breath. Like, I need to take a walk. I was like, this is intense, man.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Every now and then you do get a comic where it just, like, knocks the fucking wind out of you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, like, with video games and movies, it's still really cool. Like, I've been reading this stuff for years. I think we all have kind of just been doing it forever. But still, every now and then, you just get shocked, and it's like, holy shit. Like, I'm going to go sit down. Like, I'm tired all of a sudden.
Yeah, definitely.
That's like, I will say, speaking of Walking Dead and shocked at comics, the issue where the baby gets blown up, okay? Like, I turned to that page.
Spoilers, I guess?
Like, yeah, 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, he's still alive in the show, so.
Well, in the show, for now.
Okay, I guess it is a big spoiler.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, I mean, the baby gets blown the fuck up. But, like, I turned to that page of the comic, turned to the page back, and sat there for a second.
Well, that's like, what?
I was like, wait, 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 wait,
right?
Yeah, and let's turn
it again.
Saga
I was like,
either.
Holy fucking shit!
No, no, that's just happened. Saga, but
yeah, I have not caught up on that at all.
And Fiona Staples, they definitely have a way of ending every trade and then starting every new trade with something very shocking. That as soon as you open that first page, you see something. And then you close it, and you're like, what?
Well, every now and then, you still find something. Like, there was that issue. It was, like, in the middle of an issue, but there was, like, the massive, like, orc dong.
Oh, the fucking orc
balls. It was, like, the giant dick.
Yeah, it wasn't a giant dick. It was a tiny little dick with giant fucking balls.
I said the giant's dick, giant dick. It
wasn't I mean, I guess it was technically a giant dick.
Yeah, that one's infamous.
Attached to a giant, but yeah.
Like, I heard stories, like, people were like, yeah, I was reading that on the bus, or I was reading that on the way home, like, on the train on the way home, and flipped to it, and there's, like, these giant's balls, you know? And it's just like, well, I feel weird. Let me just close this real quick.
We should point out that they were giant even for a giant's balls.
Yeah. Large giant's balls.
You have that to look forward to if you haven't read Saga. So go ahead and pick that up. I know you're
just funny because everybody was doing like, they're like, send us your best Saga cosplay. And I'm like,
oh,
no.
God. Oh, God. Well, I mean, going back to Saga, just like the book in general, like I really love the stuff they're doing with the letters page. You know, where it's like, it's stuff you don't get if you read it in like trade format, and it's stuff where it's like, they're actively like participating with the fan base, which is, it's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, especially that first issue, I think it was the first issue where it was like, yeah, just go ahead and rip this out and mail it to us.
Right.
Brian K. Vaughan's really good about doing that. I've noticed just from reading a lot of his stuff, he's really good about having a pretty interactive letter section.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, I still think it's kind of cool that he, like, I guess he's a guy that knows his stuff would be worth something.
Yeah.
You know, but he's still just like, eh, it's comics, just have fun with it, fuck it.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
That's what I like about Brubaker too. The fact that he puts extra stuff in the back of the print issues just to keep coming back to buying print, you know? He won't put it in the trades, doesn't put it in digital, anything like that.
Well, see, I'm not sure how I feel about that, because I'll buy a comic digitally. Like, I'll buy it the day it comes out digitally.
Yeah.
So if I'm spending the same amount of money, why the fuck am I getting less?
Yeah, so you're
less
the guy that buys all the digital comics,
I'm
right?
The digital
I know.
Yeah,
money
yeah.
on the podcast is all digital now. Yeah,
that fucker.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that buys mostly digital comics. And it's like, yeah, if I'm going to drop $3.99 on the book, or $2.99 or whatever it is, and it's the same as a print comic, and I'm not getting the physical copy, why am I getting less material?
Yeah.
If anything, give me more.
Yeah.
Shit.
Talking about Brubaker, I actually just read Fatale for the first time.
Nice.
That's a great series.
I picked
up
all those on sale at one of the Bedrock sales and powered through. I honestly think I read them all in about a day, and that was another one I had to take a step back and walk it off after I finished it. I was like, wow, that was very intense. Really. His Catwoman is one of my favorite comics of all time.
Fuck
so.
Yeah. He had a really good run on Catwoman.
And then I'm behind on Fade Out, but I did buy the magazine-sized variant cover they did in the first issue, which I thought was
See,
really awesome.
I'm pissed off I didn't get one of those. But I did just get the magazine variant they did for Criminal, the one shot that they put out.
Yeah.
So I got that. That's fucking awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, like, I like the magazine sizes, the print variants. I'm just like, I barely have space for regular comics. Mm. Now you want me to...
True.
House,
I have to upgrade
magazine.
To a magazine box.
Damn it.
You know?
Yeah, it's on my bookshelf, stuck between a couple trades or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I thought it was too cool to pass up.
Yeah, it is.
Well, when I first started buying comics, I used to bag and board them individually, and I had them I actually had them on a bookshelf, and then I put them on my desk, and I'm like, you know what? I don't have enough space for this shit. Finally, started getting log boxes. Like 10 log boxes later, I'm like, well. I gotta get rid of these. I got enough space for this. I didn't wait until I got to 34 fucking long boxes like Andrew did.
And I know one of y'all is a Parker fan. Everyone should be a Parker fan.
If there's
another thing I could plug, it's Parker. I mean, I tell people, they're like, what's your favorite comic out right now? And I'm like, well, I mean, if you haven't read Parker, you should probably pick that up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy because I, you know, hate saying that that's Darwin Cook's best work, but I really do think
but
that's
yeah,
Darwin
it is
Cook's
so
best
yeah.
work.
It's best work. Yeah.
It's a phenomenal adaptation.
Yeah.
I mean, I've asked for Darwin Cook's best work I've still got to say it's DC The New Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like,
that's fucking amazing.
That's probably, if it's not the best, it's one of the best. It's up there.
I just got the Parker Martini Edition. I have all the Parkers. I'm like, seriously, that's my favorite.
Is that
like,
the
thing,
giant, the yeah, oversized slipcase?
Yeah, it's like an oversized one with a slipcase, kind of like an Absolute, but there's an interview with him in there. And Brubaker was actually in the interview too. They were just all talking about Parker.
Oh, that's cool.
But they, you know, asked him. Brubaker was like, "Man, I think this is your best work." And he was like, "Yeah, it's weird doing this and doing like New Frontier, because when you work for the, you know, big publishers, they want your stuff to be really tight. They want all your drawings to be really tight." And on Parker, he was saying he's inking like straight onto those pages and just splashing it around and making those big washes and everything. And Brubaker's like, "You don't make like a second image, you know, kind of like scanning." He's like, "No, just do it all on one page." So
that's awesome, yeah, especially that like that nice. You're that confident in your
exactly.
work.
That's what they that's you know? What they're saying. They're like, "Man,
because
you can do
I'd
that.
Be well, I mean, look, I'm not a professional by any means, but I'd be scared as shit that oh fuck, I'm gonna screw this up. Let me get a backup. Let me do something." But then again, I guess for someone like Darwin Cook, he did screw up. Just start over. Like, fuck it. Probably
I mean,
make it better.
Somebody
too.
Reminds me of that. Chris Visions. He got the comic Dead Letters.
Okay.
You know, his work is fucking fantastic. Like, I've been looking. Met him in Seattle at Emerald City. You know, and I had to look through his work, and it's a lot of gray tones and just ink splatter, and it's just really messy, messy pages, but just fantastic, you know? I mean, it's really dynamic. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So, alright, well, it's 5 o'clock?
It is 5 o'clock.
So, what the hell happens now?
Probably you start wrapping it up. Let me get some food in me and shit like that. I don't know if anybody else is showing up to record. We might record later.
Yeah,
I guess.
And I don't think Andrew's going to make it out of Haley Atwell anytime soon.
Oh, no.
No. Yeah.
That line's so crazy.
Yeah. So, well, I guess that's it for this episode of God Hates Comics. If we have anything more to add, we will just do that later on.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. It's going to be a long, fun weekend. And
we'll
hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hope you guys made it out to Comic Palooza, because by the time you listen to this, the show will be over.
Fools. Yes.
All right. So, for Andrew, I'm Vincent.
I am Dusty. For now.
And our guest,
I'm Josh Shrew. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, you're welcome. And
thanks for listening.
Yep.